there was a man who wrote into the paper, and he said, "I've been in church for 40 years, and for the life of me, I'll go to church, and I hear my preacher say, 'Be faithful,' Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night." He said, "But for the life of me, I can't remember one of those sermons that he's preached in these 40 years. What's the point?" And the editor of the paper read that, thought about it, and prayed, and wrote him back and put it in the paper. He said, "My wife and I have been married 40 years, and she cooks 3 meals a day. And for the life of me, I can't remember all the ingredients to all those meals. But I know this, that without those meals for these 40 years, I wouldn't be here today." Amen. Amen. And so the message tonight may not be grabbing your attention, but I'm telling you, the Lord has laid this definitely on my heart. It's why I came tonight, was to preach His Word. If you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to look in chapter number 1. And I'll ask if you would stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of God's holy word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's stop reading right there. I want us to think tonight on this thought: comfort in the midst of life's calamities. Father, would you help us tonight to preach the Word of God? Father, you know our need. They're just so great. Father, tonight they're above and beyond what my mind can even fathom. And Lord, there are folks tonight that are dealing with things that are just unimaginable. And Lord, there are folks dealing with things that we know not of. And God, you sent us here tonight to tell them that you have them in mind. These that are struggling, these that need help, God, I pray that tonight, just even in the message, you might provide them a little space of grace and some comfort. We thank you for what you do for us. We ask your blessing now that you would help us to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I thank you tonight for standing, and you may be seated. Comfort in life's calamities. Well, I think about Apostle Paul, who is our writer, and how he has endured many hardships in life. Hold your place here and look at chapter number 11 and look at verse number 25. Chapter 11, verse number 25. Paul begins to tell us, look at verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now think about Apostle Paul. We know that he was left for dead after he had been stoned, and the Lord raised him up. Amen. And I just got in my mind, this man who had suffered these hardships, what might he have looked like when the Lord raised him up? Do you think he totally healed him? Do you think he left some of those wounds on his body so that others could look and see what he had suffered? Jesus, we know, died on the cross, and yet the scars, the nail scars, are still in that body of what mankind put him through, what God suffered and what God allowed. I thought about how Paul needed comfort. Imagine being beaten 5 times with 39 stripes. Imagine being shipwrecked 3 times. Imagine being beaten with rods. Heavy, three times beaten with rods. Imagine being stoned, left for dead. He is a man that needs comfort. Now tonight you may say, Pastor, I need comfort. I need encouragement. I need help. Thank God you've not gone through any of the things Paul's gone through. You probably wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. And neither would I. I think number one about the origin of comfort. Look in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Where does comfort originate from? God. Our God is the source of all comfort. Amen. And then when He comforts us, He wants us to go out and comfort others who are in trouble. So you are a comfort to others as God comforts you. Now, some of you probably go shop at a place called Walmart. Dare I say the word? Some people say it's the saving place. Amen. Some people call it a super center. Some people say that's where I go get my groceries. Where I go get my groceries, my auto needs, my clothing. That's where I go get my things. Down there at Walmart, they provide, they supply everything I need. Well, not really. Walmart gets their things from manufacturers, from plants, from food processors, amen. They get it from all over the country as it comes in. And let me tell you tonight, you and I, we are not the originators of comfort, right? Comfort, we're like a super center, right? We're supposed to be out comforting others, but God is the originator of comfort, and there is no other. We must go to God if we want true comfort. Number two, there's the offer of comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us, comforteth. I love the King James. That is a present participle. It means it is a continual action that is unending. God continues to comfort and comfort and comfort and comfort. How does He offer and when does He offer comfort to us? In all our tribulation. When the trial is over? No. During the tribulation. During the trial. I'm glad to report to you tonight, God is available and God is able. Amen. I want to read out of the book of Isaiah just a little bit about comfort. Now there's many passages in Isaiah. And I want to turn back to chapter number 40, very familiar, verse number 28, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank God for that. While you're in Isaiah, look at chapter number 61. Isaiah chapter number 61, very first verse. This is a prophecy concerning the coming of the Christ. We know in the book of Luke that Jesus actually read these verses and said that this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What did Isaiah say? Chapter 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Amen. You've been crying, you've been weeping, you've been burdened. He sees your tears. He's sitting here tonight to tell you He wants to comfort you. And Isaiah chapter 66, look with me in verse number 13. Isaiah 66, verse number 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Praise God. Then, Preacher Darren, what is this offer of comfort? Comfort is not the elimination of affliction, but it's God providing the strength to go on through the trial victoriously. When you and I as humans, when we think of comfort, we think of, well, at least I do, I think of comfort food. Mashed potatoes. Green beans. Cornbread. That's what I think of. I think of comfort food. I think of a comfortable chair, a recliner, no doubt. I think of a comfortable bed, one that's got plenty of covers on it when it's cold outside. I think of those comfortable things, maybe a comfortable vacation. But God doesn't just do those things that are comfortable for us. He provides strength and comfort in the middle of trials, in the middle of problems, in the middle of affliction. Comfort then is the strength in the middle of affliction. The trial, the strength in the middle of calamity. It is deliverance. Thank God for it. Now I want to read out of Romans chapter 8. I know we've turned to a lot and I'll settle down in a minute, but I just want to have some proof text. And I love the book of Romans, especially chapter number 8. To me, it's like the heart of the New Testament. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, Paul, our writer, led of the Holy Ghost, said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Oh, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay," look at that, there's our word, "in all these things." What about that? "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Amen. He's made us more than conquerors through tribulation, through distress, through persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in peril, in sword. He is our comfort. Amen. Thank God for tonight. He's given us an offer of comfort. Number three, there are obstacles to comfort. Preacher Darren, I knew that it was too good to be true. Tell me, what are the obstacles to comfort? An unbelieving attitude. Ungodly actions. I'm thinking in the Old Testament about a man by the name of Jacob. They had told him that his favored son, Joseph, had been slain by an evil beast. And it was really a lie that he had been slain. And they brought his coat to his daddy and said, "Tell us, is this your son's coat?" He said, "It is. An evil beast hath devoured him." Boy, that's the truth. An evil beast had devoured it. It's jealousy. That's still very active in the local church. That's an evil beast, amen. Now look with me in Genesis 37 and verse number 35. All his sons, Genesis 37, I want you to find it. Genesis 37, verse number 35. This is an obstacle to comfort. This is an unbelieving attitude. It is an ungodly action. And point number three is going to intertwine with point number four. So we're going somewhere. Genesis 37, verse number 35. "And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted." Did you know there's tonight people that God wants to comfort and they refuse it? They don't want it. Their unbelieving attitude, he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And for all those years he wept every single day. And when he found out that his son Joseph was still alive, when he saw him, he hugged him and said, "It's enough. I'm ready to die." And you know what? He's a bitter man. He wasn't excited his son was alive. Now he's mad that he's lost all those years in believing he was dead. Some people you just cannot satisfy. Some people you just cannot comfort. But tonight, if you will, if God, if you will let the Lord, he wants to comfort you tonight in the middle of your trial. In the middle, maybe there's death in your home. Maybe there's sickness in your home. Maybe there's an obstacle of finances. Maybe there's marital problems. Maybe there's problems in the family with the children, the grandchildren. God wants to comfort you this evening. Do not refuse his offer. Number four, how do we obtain comfort? What is the obtainment of comfort? Look again at verse four. "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, comma, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now I want you to listen real close. We're getting ready to launch. As Christians, we are comforted of God when we comfort others. in their affliction. Now you saw Jacob. What was Jacob doing when his sons or daughters and grandchildren came to comfort him? What did he do? He refused them. He probably isolated himself. And I believe, according to the text, God will comfort you when you begin to comfort others. I want to show you this truth in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. I believe Paul, again being our writer, I believe this truth is very evident in Romans chapter number 1. Watch this in verse number 11. Romans 1, verse number 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. You see, Paul, he said, I want to be comforted, but if I'm going to be comforted, I'm trying to comfort you. And as I comfort you, God will comfort me. You see, look at it again, verse 12. That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So listen to me. I know when a trial hits and problems come, difficulties, hardships, calamities, the first thing you as a human want to do is go and get in a cave. You want to go isolate yourself. You want to get away from everybody. It is just leave me alone. That's the wrong thing to do. Paul found comfort when he comforted others in prayer. And if you forget about others and you start getting self-focused, problem-centered, you, myself, are hurting your potential of being comforted from the Lord. You will never find comfort by being self-absorbed. You will never find comfort by being self-consumed. Because when you're like that, it's impossible to help others. You've got to find a way to encourage the discouraged. How are you doing with that? Who have you encouraged today? Who have you helped today? If God is the source of all comfort, and if I am in tune with God, I then should also be a source of comfort. Now, there's a verse of Scripture in the New Testament that we quote often, Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that we might mandate church attendance to get people present. And that's the truth. But when we look at that Scripture in context, read it with me. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look in verse number 23. This is Bible 101. Hebrews 10, 23. I want to wait till you find this text. It's very important. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, in the day in which we live, people are topsy-turvy. They're wavering every which way. He says without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to, what's the word? Provoke. Oh, you know what comforting is? Comforting is provoking others to continue in love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be more faithful today than we ever were, because the day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return is closer now than it ever was. And when you look at this world, it's harder now as a pastor, as a church, as a family, as a daddy, maybe as a mother. It is harder now than it's ever been to live for Christ in my lifetime. Many, many difficulties. Amen. And as we see the day approaching, we need to become more faithful to the house of God. That's not the time to quit. That's not the time to get bitter or to get weary in well-doing and get faint and pull out of this thing. it's time to become more faithful. It's why I came tonight. And we'll talk about that later. Will you hear me? Will you hear me for a second? We need church attendance. And while we're here, we need to provoke one another. Now, some of you have been provoking each other for years. I mean, the minute you walk in the door and you look at each other, you're provoked. That's so and so. I'm provoked. I don't want to talk to him. But what I'm talking about is you need to be provoking unto love. You need to provoke. You need to be provoked unto good works. You know what? I'm trying to provoke you tonight. That means I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to teach you and trying to exhort you and trying to undergird and lift you up that you might be comforted and helped and strengthened tonight. And as you, listen, as we get in the house of God and we start comforting one another, there's no doubt that you're lifting up someone who's weak. There may be somebody tonight, man, you have had a horrible week. You've got calamity, trials and afflictions, problems, and man, you are really, really going through it. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 11 of this chapter. He says, ye also, helping together by prayer for us. Look at verse 11. Helping together by prayer for us. You know, one way of comfort is to pray for somebody. To pray with somebody. I mean, it's common for me to walk up and talk to somebody and they say, well, preacher, I just need prayer. You know what I'll do? Let's pray right now. And pray with them. And I've had people that said, pastor, I feel led to pray with you. That's been a comfort to my soul. As you pray for me, that's a comfort for me to know that you are praying for me. And I hope it's a comfort that I am praying for you. Paul was comforted that the church at Corinth was praying for him. And we'll talk about why here in just a minute. Number five, and I'm done, but this is the bulk of the message right here. Number five, what is the objective of comfort? What? There are three that I just, there are more. I just want to cover three tonight. Down in verse 8 of this first chapter, Paul says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. Wait a minute. Preacher Darren, didn't God say he wouldn't put more on us than we could bear? It's not in there. Never says that. Read that verse again. Paul says, we were pressed out of measure. It's more than he could take. Above strength. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. Here's a man who's been stoned and left for dead. And he said that this event was greater. Here's a man that was shipwrecked three times. This event was greater. Here's a man that was beaten five times with 39 stripes. During COVID, in some cities, the government of that city would say, if you open your church, you will have fines of so many $1,000s. And they would open their church and pay the fines. But I wonder if they said, if you go to that church, you get 39 lashes. How many would have really showed up if they were? Paul went anyway. And whatever he's going through here was even greater than what he's already suffered. He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Oh, preacher Aaron, he's talking about that time he was going to have his head chopped off. No. He wrote that just before it happened in 2 Timothy. This event is a different event. He was ready. Listen, he said, I finished my course. I've run my race. I've been faithful. He was ready to die. This event caused him to shudder and to shiver. I'm talking about we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Will you hear me? He needed comfort. Some type of malady. I'm going to say comfort in sickness. I'm going to say, I've got three subheadings. Comfort in sickness. Now look at verse 10. Who delivered us from so great, delivered us. That's past tense. Delivered is past. And doth deliver. That's present. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver. Future tense. What Paul's saying, he said, he's delivered me in the past. He's delivered me now. And I believe he's going to continue to deliver me in the future. So whatever Paul's going through, it's not over yet. Didn't he tell us that he had a thorn in the flesh? Furthermore, he told us he had a messenger of Satan. That could be two different things. It could be people lying on him, talking about him, trying to hinder and stop the ministry. And always having people, that messenger of Satan, always having that thorn in the flesh, maybe some physical malady, whatever it is. But I want to say this. God does, this is important, listen. God does not provide to us the details of what's taking place in Paul's life. We're not ignorant of his trouble, but we're ignorant of the details of his trouble. But God was not ignorant. God provided the very comfort that he needed. Tonight, you're going through a trial. And most people tonight are ignorant of the details of the trial you're going through. And most likely, it'd be better if they didn't know those details of your trial. And if God wanted us to know the details of Paul's trial, he would have told us. He would have provided it. And I want to say tonight, you don't need to provide to me or to others the details of the trial that you're going through. Tonight there are people here and listening online. You are suffering extreme pain, sickness, stress financially. You're going through stress on your job, maybe stress in your home. But everyone has something. Every one of us has something that you're battling with. And there's something that has brought you lower than you could have ever been taken. This is pressing you above measure, and it's above your own strength to get through this calamity you're going through. And somebody tonight, hopefully it's me from preaching, wants to tell you that God knows what you're suffering. And God wants to encourage you. And God's going to provide the strength for you to get through this trial. But I am not asking you for the details of what you're going through. When you go to comfort somebody, don't go up and try to find out the details of what they're going through. That's not the point of comfort. For it to become the gossip chain. Some of us, we think our idea of comfort is to find out what's going on. We don't have the details of Paul's problem here. Don't ask for the details. If they don't tell you, don't ask them. But comfort them. Encourage them. Tell them you're praying for them and really do it. How many times have you said to somebody, I'll be praying for you, and that's the last time you even thought about it? Most times while we continue a conversation, I stop and pray right there silently, and God, so I won't forget. We hear me for a second? When someone has gotten the word that they have stage 4 cancer, don't you know they're despairing of life? And we don't know the details of what that doctor told them. But for days and weeks and maybe months, they're despairing of life. Only God needs to know the details. God wants you to help provide the comfort and to be a blessing. This trial hit Paul above the strength that he had, above what he had physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And he did not provide the details about it, but yet God comforted him. Maybe it's sickness, I don't know. But it's something, I promise you. I have another subheading. Would you turn to chapter number 2 and look in verse number 12? Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians and sent it to the church. And it is a very harsh letter to that church because they were such babes in Christ. Oh, he hated to do it, but it's what God had laid on his heart. And the Bible tells us in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, I determined this with myself, that I would not come to you again in heaviness. Verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. He's burdened. I mean, how many times have I preached a message here at this church? I preached on a Sunday morning, warned the unruly. And I got in my car, defeated, dejected, and all the way down the road, the devil trying to beat on me and whip on me, and me whipping on me too. On man, right now they need encouragement. They don't need warning the unruly. Right now they need lifting up. They need comfort. They need help. And you're warning the unruly. And then I come back Sunday night, and we had a breakout service, and I had many people say, "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you." And you know, the burden was worth it after all. And what Paul had written in 1 Corinthians, he sends Titus, his beloved assistant. And he says, "Will you go to the church at Corinth and find out how they do? I've got to know. Here's a man, I believe with all my heart, that he is in service for the Lord." And I believe it with all my heart. I believe that he himself was being beaten down by what he had written. Do you see it? "I have anguish of heart, and I wrote to you with many tears." Don't you know that sometimes, maybe you're here tonight, you look around, this is a waste of time. I'm wasting my effort. Does anyone even care? Am I making a difference? Does this even matter? Am I accomplishing anything? Why should I even go to church? And Paul sends Titus to find out what's happening. And days turn into weeks, and Titus has not come back to him. And he imagines the worst. Something has happened to Titus. Maybe that church at Corinth was angry and somebody beat him up. They are a fleshly church. Maybe they've discouraged him so much that he's quit the ministry, and I'll never hear how he's doing. Look at verse number 12. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest." We're talking about Paul. No rest in my spirit. I'm talking about the man of God, Apostle Paul, who wrote what? 13 books of the most of the New Testament. He's got no rest in his spirit. So here you come in on Wednesday night. And no, you're not shouting and swinging from the chandeliers. Maybe you have no rest in your spirit. And I believe that God's got comfort for your service tonight. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're a worker for the Lord. And you're thinking, is anything happening at all? Listen, the more churches Paul planted, the more accumulated the weight of those churches were on him. He didn't just have the care of one church. He had Ephesus and Galatia and Thessalonica. He had all those churches in Corinth and Rome. He had all those churches weighing on him now. And the weight of that and the burden of that, he has no rest in his spirit. Comma. Why? "Because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. But thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Now, I promise you, will you hear me? If you serve God long enough, there's going to come a moment where you're going to second guess, what am I doing here? I mean, Preacher Darren's message, I'm bored to death. I should have just stayed at the house. What, I'm just wasting my time. Why am I teaching that Sunday school class? The day before people shows up. Why am I working? The old devil boy. Amen. He'll start working on you, tearing you down. Yes, well, the church has gone off the rails. Have I hurt more people than I've helped? Listen, I'm asking you tonight. I want you to find someone that's been serving God a long time. And I want you to go to them, and I want you to comfort them. I want you to encourage them. I want you to thank them. I want you to tell them you're praying for them. I want you to tell them I prayed for you, and I believe God still wants you in the fight. God still wants you serving God. God still needs you on the pew. You go find somebody tonight. You tell them, are you listening to me at home? We need you to be at Bethel, singing in this choir, worshiping with this people. We want you. We invite you. We need you. We desire for you to be here with us. Titus, once he found him, came back and told him, said, Paul, they did receive your letter. And guess what they did? What'd they do, Titus? They repented. They repented and they got right with God and revivals broke out and Corinth has turned the corner. I'm asking you to find someone and appreciate them. Comfort them. Comfort them in the service. Last of all, look again at verse 4. He says, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. I want you to learn to comfort people in their situation. Now, there's some of you, you think that when I get up on a Sunday morning and I mix up gunpowder in my smoothie and I decide I'm going to come down here and preach a message to try to blow it out before everybody and try to hurt everybody before 12 o'clock. But that's not my goal. Every service is not warn the unruly. There are services where we need to comfort one another, where we need to encourage the discouraged. Where we try to help those that are feeble-minded, where we try to be a blessing to them. When Paul wrote this 1 Corinthian letter to warn them about self-destruction, he's got a broken heart about it. And he cared for that church. Listen to this. He cared for that church. And I promise you, the more you care, the more you'll need to be comforted. Amen. I'm going to pick on my daughter for a minute. I've watched her as a teacher. She was really nervous when she started. There's children that come through that classroom and she's teaching them, doing her job as a teacher. And then there's that one or two, maybe three, that have really, really special circumstances and situations. And they pinch your heart. And you really care. I know you care for all of them, but you know what I mean. And I watch her when she comes home at the end of the day and she's weeping about a young man or a young girl in her class. You see, she needs to be comforted and she needs to be encouraged that what she's doing is making a difference. And the more you care, the more you'll need to be comforted. If you really care about this church, then you'll be concerned and worried about it to where it'll be good for somebody to say, boy, that was a good message, or that was a good Sunday school lesson today, or boy, I sure appreciate you being in the choir today. I told somebody the other day, it was sure good to see them in the choir. I missed them being up there here lately, and I know why they couldn't be, but it sure was good to see them back up there. I'm just going to tell you, we need to learn how to comfort and how to care. You know why we don't comfort? We don't care. And that's the hope. If you don't care, you don't need to be comforted. Now I realize there's some people that need to be comforted at your full-time position. You always want to be comforted. I understand that. But tonight, there are parents. Get tore up. There are parents that have wayward children. And they care. And they need to be comforted. Somebody to help them pray. They need your comfort, not your curiosity about what's going on in their family. What's going on? They don't need your curiosity. They don't need your nose in it. Get your nose out of it. Don't be a busybody in other men's matters and learn to care. These families are carrying a heavy load. They've got a great burden tonight. I mean, listen, in school, listen, there's a great work here at Bethel. Bethel has a great number of folks that attend this church. Thank God for it. More than we can care for, more than we can comfort, more than we can do. It's above what we can get done. There's no way we'll get everything done here as a pastor. I know that. And then God said, start a school. And it's not a competition with a public school. I'm not even trying to down them. But this is a good option, this private school, for some kids that would like to go there. It's a good option. And they fit in there where they might not fit in somewhere else. And we see, just like in public school, we see kids that wake up in the morning and they have abuse. They have neglect. We don't know what problem that child is going through with that very day. There's no concern for them. And it'll be by the grace of God if they can escape any of that. And if you and me, public school, private school, church, listen, family, if we can do anything to comfort them and help them pull out of that situation, but for the grace of God, it'd be you. I just want to say this, I'm done. We need to comfort in sickness. We need to comfort in service. We need to comfort situations. And tonight, I'm asking you, you know, you go out in the Midwest, and when it gets to be a famine or whatever, you see those dry riverbeds, and they're a channel. And then when it starts to rain, those channels run waters through them to the ocean, and they run waters through them to replenish towns and families. And I'm asking you tonight, would you become a channel? I want to ask somebody tonight, I want you to say, God, would you help me to be a channel to comfort somebody? Now, I know these are their spiritual gifts. I know that. But I believe tonight God is looking. He's wanting to call somebody to be a comforter, to be able to have the words, the smile, the text, to be able to have the discernment to say, you know what, they could use a little cheering up. They could use a little prayer. They could use a text. They could use a smile. Oh, tonight, is there anybody here you'd say, you know what, Pastor Darren, I want to be a comforter. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Folks are coming. Hallelujah. Devil's fit me about preaching this message. Said it won't make a difference. But I believe tonight somebody is going to get God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Love you. Father, tonight, as we bow our heads before you, we love you. Lord, I want to thank you for saving us, loving us, caring for us. I praise you tonight, God. What a gracious God that you are. And Father, there's been times when we've gone through calamity, trials, afflictions, hardships, burdens, discouragements. You've been the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. And Father, you've been so good to us. And God, you sent folks into our lives to be a help and to be an encouragement and to be an uplifter. Lord, tonight I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor. And I give you thanks. And I pray tonight, God, you might help us, Lord, that we might be a comforter. Lord, not to be a busybody or curious or a questioner. Lord, we want to be a prayer warrior and a blessing to the people. God, you know the need tonight. We pray, Father, that you touch each and every one. We love you. We thank you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask your call upon your people to comfort. You said, comfort ye my people. Oh, God, help us to do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.